Welcome to the Super Gamer Podcast. Welcome to the new Super Gamer Podcast, episode 181. Our guest this week is a dead mall explorer and a retro game and toy enthusiast. We have Eric from Retail Archaeology. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so your channel, your Retail Archaeology channel started in November 2016. And my first question, 7 years in, you're still going, how many dead malls can there be?
You know, quite a few, although the number is starting to dwindle by the day. For example, a lot of the ones that I have covered are closed and in some cases demolished at this point. But what is making so many dead malls available to film right now is we built so many in the United States from the late 70s until the early 2000s. That there really are a lot out there, especially in my part of the country where I kind of cover the Southwest, like California, Arizona, New Mexico. There's a lot of malls, and not all of them are dying, but there's too many. So,
right. I have been in a. We should explain that a dead mall doesn't necessarily mean like it doesn't need to be like demolished or whatever. Like a dead mall is possibly even still open, but clearly nobody's there. There's maybe one or two stores or whatever. And I have been in one in a town very close to me in Manitoba here, and it is like weirdly creepy. I don't know what it is, but just walking through, I was like, I am unsettled being here.
Yeah, it's funny. So when I first started on YouTube, I actually was doing retro game videos, and I just happened to visit a dead mall on the suggestion of a friend who had done a delivery there for like office supplies or something. And it was a mall that I had grown up going to as a kid, but I had stopped later in my teens because another new mall opened up closer to my house. So I was like, okay, I got to go check it out. And so, yeah, I spent, I don't know, 10 minutes in there, and I had to pull out my phone and cause it was so weird. Just the vibe and everything. It is really hard to explain because it's like a lot of emotions mixed in. You're sad about it. It's also really interesting to be there. It's kind of comforting sometimes to be in a place that you would go to as a kid, you know, but it's really melancholy to see it in that state. So I just started taking pictures and filming footage, and that ended up being the first retail archaeology video it was Fiesta Mall that I visited, I guess in 2016. I always forget that I started my channel that long ago.
Yeah, and you've said as you said there's some nostalgia for you. You grew up there. You were definitely a mall kid as a teenager. I wasn't. Certainly, you know, I'm of the era where that was a thing. Certainly, I knew a lot of people who would go hang out at the mall, and I just wasn't that. But there is still a weird like emotional attachment to like it's sad being in a dead mall. Any idea beyond nostalgia where that comes from?
I think part of it's kind of, like you said, it's sad, but it's also kind of like watching a slow motion car crash. Like you're slowly watching something like kind of disintegrate in on itself. Because when a mall, that's what creates a dead mall, is that they get to the point where there's, you know, only a few stores open left, maybe one anchor store, sometimes none left, but they seem to hold on and keep them open for, you know, months and sometimes a year or two once they get to that point. And you can kind of go multiple times and watch it kind of slowly, like kind of collapse in, like from the outside in, basically. So it's just a really interesting thing to watch. And especially with the nostalgia part of it, when you remember, like when I remember going to the mall as a kid, like it was always a place that was jam packed, like full of people. So it's bizarre to see a place empty that wasn't designed to be empty. Like it was designed to be just full of people and conversation and noise and kids running around and stuff like that. And it's easier to kind of remember those memories when you're in the place where they happened, you know?
Right. Your friend, obviously, as you said, your friend kind of got you into this hobby. But you also credit video games with why you're into dead malls. How is exploring a dead mall like a video game?
So malls and video games kind of have always gone like hand in hand with me because I bought a lot of video games. I've been into video games since the original Legend of Zelda came out. Like, that was, I think, the first video game outside of the one that came with the NES that I got for Christmas. And so, like, I was hooked at that point. But I, you know, over the years, when we would go to places like the mall, you might go to Sears, and, like, back then, Sears had the Funtronics counter where they had all, like, the demo units and stuff where you could play a bunch of games. It was like a free arcade, basically. And then, you know, there would be the mall kiosk selling, like, the shareware PC games for, like, $5. So that, I've always had, like, a connection with those. And so when I, when I'm filming them, it kind of does feel like a video game, because you're kind of, like, exploring, kind of like a role-playing game, but, you know, seeing what kind of interesting stuff you can find. But also there's the aspect of it that a lot of these malls don't really want you, want people doing what I'm doing, you know, which is sad, because I'm really just trying to document the place, but they don't usually like that. So you're kind of having to be kind of incognito about it, and it can almost feel like playing like Metal Gear Solid, where you're kind of trying to avoid, like, being seen, you know, like you're kind of like ducking behind a column or something, or figuring out a way to, like, hide the camera in your hand, you know, just so that you don't get thrown out. Although I haven't had as much trouble with that lately. Part of it's because I probably use a really small, I'm not walking around like holding my phone filming anymore, but yeah, so it just kind of, it feels like elements of different, like, genres of video games are kind of mixed in with it. And then when you watch the footage, you know, it's filmed first person, and a lot of these places are, you know, big empty places with sometimes weird lighting and stuff. So it kind of, when you're watching it, it kind of feels like you're in, like, a first person, you know, kind of game, like almost like a, not a, quite a horror game, but, you know, just a weird game.
This does bring up how much trespassing is involved in this hobby.
There doesn't have to be any, really. So, I mean, some people do film malls that are closed to the public, and they get in various ways. Most people frown upon, like, flat out breaking into a place. But some people do that. Some people grease the palms of a security guard, you know, to get maybe half an hour, 45 minutes of access. I personally don't enjoy, I do like going to filming some of the places, but I don't film, like, a lot of places that are abandoned, so I don't really trespass, I guess. You know, if I start poking around somewhere and I see, like, a bunch of, like, no trespassing signs anywhere, I, you know, I'm old enough now, I don't need to get arrested for something goofy like that. And there's plenty of interesting stuff. I think it's more interesting to cover this stuff while it's still around, and point out to people that, like, hey, you know, if you want to, you know, visit these places, or kind of experience things in places that you haven't since you were, you know, a kid in a nostalgic way, go, you know, I'm trying to go do it. I'm not going to encourage people to, like, go trespass, you know. There's plenty of interesting stuff to see without trespassing.
And a little down the video game line there, like, are you ever like going into an old store and, like, rummaging through drawers or anything?
Yeah, so really interesting. A couple of the malls that I filmed, and this is actually a tip for anybody who wants to maybe visit a mall that has, like, recently closed and isn't open to the public anymore. But a lot of times what they'll do when they close a mall down, like, finally shut it down, there's no more stores left, you know, it's closed to the public. Shortly after that happens, they'll hire companies to come in and do fixture auctions, because there's all kinds of fixtures left behind, like sales racks, you know, glass cases, tools, just all, you'd be amazed at the stuff, huge Christmas decorations. They auction all that stuff off. And generally what they do is they will have the auction online now, but they'll have, like, a day or two where they will open the mall for people to come in and view the stuff that's going to be in the auction. And so basically it's a free chance to get back into these places without trespassing. And they don't care, like, if you're walking around filming and taking pictures, because, like, for all they know, you're taking pictures of the stuff for sale because you want to research it before you go bid on the auction. So in those cases, a lot of times, yeah, I will go into, like, an old Foot Locker or something like that. Like, you can tell it used to be a Foot Locker, and it's interesting because the sales register stand will be one of the things that's up for auction. So yeah, you can open the drawers and you'll find, like, old gift cards and old, and sometimes, like, I found old employee manuals from the late 90s in a store that closed in the, you know, 2019 or 18 or so. So there is, like, lots of interesting stuff like that to find. Sometimes too, like, they'll even be auctioning off all the artwork that was in the mall office, and they'll have, like, construction photos and stuff of when the mall was being built. So there's lots of neat stuff you can find, and those auctions are a really great opportunity.
Have you ever bought anything at that? Like, what's the coolest thing you've bought?
No, not at the, because generally a lot of that stuff is for commercial businesses. So, you know, it is like, you know, cash registers, clothing racks. So it's not like stuff that you would buy yourself. There was one thing, like there was a mall that closed that, had an old KB Toys in it. And so they were auctioning off some of the signs that were still in the store, like the KB Toys signs, but they went for like $1,000, like, because right. You can see online what they go for, and that stuff gets huge. Christmas wreaths go for like $500, but they're like huge Christmas wreaths. So a lot of that stuff, but I do tend to find kind of neat little tidbits of retail history stuff like that when I'm out thrifting, going to thrift stores and stuff. Like I have a picture hanging in my loft that's a big framed picture of Superstition Spring Center, which is one of the malls that I grew up going to. It's a picture from inside the mall while it was under construction, and it's probably like, I don't know, 80% done. So you can kind of see like the bones and stuff still, and it's very obviously that mall. And I found it at a thrift store like 5 miles from where that mall is. I have no idea why it was there, but it was like $5. So I bought it and cleaned it up and everything. And so like, yeah, I have like a in construction like picture. It must have been in one of the offices or something, and they just donated it. But there's lots of neat stuff like that that you can find at thrift stores, like around where the malls are.
Going back to the creepiness of a dead mall, one time you were exploring a place and it still had music playing in some parts of the mall. And that sounds horrifying.
Yeah, that's actually part of the reason I wish in my videos I could use more of the ambient sounds and stuff. But a lot of times there is still like top 40 music playing like throughout these malls that gets picked up, you know, by the camera. And it is weird when it's like echoey, you know, throughout, because there's no bodies in there basically like to absorb the sound. But it is weird. They'll do it. I think they were playing music in one of the fixture auctions I went to. Like they were still play. I don't know if they just hooked a radio up to the PA system or something, but there was like music playing in the background, quiet, like on a low level. And it is weird. It adds to the like creepy weirdness of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very zombie movie, as if like everyone rushed out and everything's still like working until it, you know, the batteries die or whatever.
Yeah, it kind of just gives you more of that feeling of like, am I supposed to be here? Like this this place is weird.
What is the most terrifying thing that's ever happened to you while filming these? Would the feral cat be one of them?
That is probably the most terrifying thing. I have been very fortunate to like not run into anything really scary or frightening. I've come across the remnants of some really sad things, but yeah, the feral cat probably was, because feral cats are scary. We have some wild ones out here in the Phoenix area.
Did it like actually attack you? Did you have to like fend it off?
No, but it was really angry that I was there, and I'm familiar with those noises when they make those noises. So it was one of those like, I just need to kind of back away from where I'm at and not turn my back on where that sound is coming from. If I had to guess, it was probably like a mama, like mm-hmm. protecting its kittens, I think. But yeah, really, I thankfully haven't really, outside of that. And that wasn't even really that scary. It was just more tense, and like, I just, stray cat attacks are not a good time.
And is it true you almost got, well, maybe not almost, but there was possibly a snake that you almost walked
into. Oh,
yeah,
there was that too, and that's actually where my friend Mark helps me out quite a bit a lot of times. That was the abandoned outlet mall in Casa Grande. That's out in the middle of the desert, and like I should know better. I've grown up in Arizona, so I know we have a lot of snakes around, and the less of a populated area you're in, the more likelihood that, you know, you will stumble across them. And generally they don't want to have anything to do with you, so you just have to be careful not to like step in a bush or something that they're in. And yeah, he heard it before I did, I think, the rattle, but there was like definitely a rattlesnake in a bush that I was like kind of getting ready to kind of lean into and walk into a little bit to get like a better shot into a building, like through a window. So yeah, that's wildlife, I guess, is like the biggest danger I've encountered.
The Phoenix New Times gave your channel the Best Tribute to Mall Culture Award, I'll call it, in 2019, which, first off, I can't believe that's a thing.
Yeah, so they do like a best of thing every year, and there's some of the categories like best, you know, Mexican food restaurant, best place to see a musical. Like those kept, but they'll occasionally kind of switch some of the categories up every year. And yeah, that was really awesome. I was actually surprised because they actually didn't, nobody reached out to me to tell me they were doing that. So I actually heard from like a viewer left a comment in one of my videos and was like, "Hey, I saw you were in the Phoenix New Times." And I was like, "Really?" And yeah, that was neat. I actually have a clipping of it, of everything in the actual, from the actual, I guess it's a magazine, but it's like on newsprint, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So that was really neat. Yeah. I was actually kind of surprised. I don't know if they've done that category again either after. So it was just, I guess somebody at the Phoenix New Time was a big fan of what I was doing. And yeah, they gave me that award, but there wasn't actually like a physical like award or anything. Not like a certificate or anything. So like I just kind of made my own thing, like with the clipping, you know, out of the newspaper and everything, and framed it. So
it does bring up though, like, what is the channel a tribute to mall culture? Like, what is the purpose do you think of exploring these places and documenting them?
It's actually a lot of different reasons, and I do explore a lot of like not even just dead malls. Like I've done a lot of videos just covering. I just like to cover really anywhere that I think is interesting, like especially with malls. So like I've covered some really cool ones that aren't necessarily dead, but they've got like, I covered one in Tucson that has like an amazing like late 80s, early 90s arcade like hidden away in it, like stuff like that. So it's, part of it is really just like nostalgia for like these places and things. And then part of it is to kind of document it, because that's something else where knowing video games the way I know them, the people that produced a lot of the video games in the 80s and 90s, they were really terrible about like documenting their own history. And there's really great organizations that do that now. There's places like the Video Game History Foundation and stuff that are kind of now compiling all that history and archiving it by sometimes rummaging through just boxes that companies will send them and say, "Hey, we found this in the basement and it's got a bunch of our like 90s documentation in it." So it's really cool what they do. So I'm kind of trying to do the same thing, because there are other people doing what I do, but not every person can get to every place, you know, because the country is so big. So part of it's just out of nostalgia, and part of it's out of like just wanting to document this so that if it actually does happen 20 years from now and if there's no malls left, I think it would be important to have like a visual recording of what those were like. There's some out there. If you go look, like you can find old VHS camcorder footage of some malls back in the late 80s and early 90s, you know, where somebody bought like a camcorder at Sears and is kind of screwing around with it for a few minutes in the mall or whatever, but there's not a lot of that footage. So I think with a lot of these places getting demolished now at this point, I think it's important to kind of have a visual history of them.
And you kind of just mentioned there's a whole like community of dead retail enthusiasts. Like, are there like conventions? Do you have a Discord channel? Do you keep in touch with any of them?
Yeah, we chat, like, you know, Twitter DMs and things like that. But we all kind of do things differently. Like I said, there's a lot of them that are like really just focused on like dead malls. Whereas I kind of like to cover the whole gambit. Like I like to cover malls, obviously, but also big retailers like Sears, and which is, I forget how many stores they're down to in the United States now, but it's a couple of dozen, maybe it's like a dozen and a half stores left. Because, you know, those places going away are important for a lot, not just for like nostalgia, but also like that's a big deal for the economy and things like that. So I kind of like to cover the whole gambit. But yeah, we do chat. There is a Dead Malls Discord as well. I haven't been super active over there lately though, but yeah, we all do kind of chat. And like I said, we all kind of do things kind of our own way.
Do you have your turf? Like if someone went and did a mall, you know, in Arizona, would you be like, "Get off my turf"?
Absolutely not. No, because I can't film the entire thing, you know, like inch for inch. So like I said, I think it's important to have as much visual history of these places as possible. So yeah, like the more footage of a place, the better, for sure. And also, like, I have a feeling a lot of the people visit these places like it's the first time they're visiting one of them, and they're probably awestruck the same way I and a lot of other people are, and are like, "Oh my gosh, this is like so weird. I gotta show people this," you know. So I definitely don't think that's something that should be stifled or anything like that.
What is the cockroach of the mall world? Like, what seems to survive right to the bitter end?
Bath and Body Works, weirdly enough, that's one that I see in a lot of malls until the bitter end. And it has something to do where they just have really long leases on their stores. And because they're willing to sign like a 10 or a 15 year lease, they get pretty pretty good leasing rates and things like that. And so it's not as expensive for them to operate a store as other places that are operating in there. But that's one for sure. There's usually like one place that hangs on in the food court until the very end, because there's usually at least like enough employees still working at the mall where that place can stay in business from like the lunch business, you know, because the rent has become so cheap at that point. So there's usually like, and it's usually like at that point, like a mom and pop like burrito place or something. It isn't like a Panda Express or something like that. And then the weird kiosks that will stick around until the very end that sell like bootleg NFL merchandise and stuff and bootleg NBA merchandise. Like, there's usually like a big kiosk of selling that stuff too that sticks around to the bitter end. Jewelry stores too, for some reason there's always like a Zales or something left also.
How are Rotting Acres Mall and Siesta Mall holding up?
They're pretty much frozen in time from the last time those streams occurred. I've got the malls backed up and everything. I'm actually about at a point now where I should have a PC around here that I can run that. Because back when I used to stream that, I didn't run the game, the Mall Tycoon game that I was doing those malls on. I didn't like run it through an emulator. Like, I used an actual Windows 98 PC that I connected to video capture and streamed it from there. Because I just thought that added to the novelty of it that I was actually running the game on Windows 98. But I do have like a Windows 98 computer. The one that I had been doing those on, it finally gave up the goat and died. So, but I do have another one now, and I would like to get back to a point where I'm doing those streams again. But I just don't know if I want to like the first one, Rotting Acres Mall, somehow the save game got corrupted for that, so it's pretty much like done, because anytime you load that save game in and try and do anything for longer than a minute or two, it crashes the game. But the Siesta Mall save and everything, I still have those. I just don't know if I want to pick back up where I left off on that, or if I want to like start over trying to do like a new mall. And I also don't know if I want to stream on YouTube still, or if I would want to do those streams on Twitch. I'm just so out of the loop on those things now. But I do want to do those again. I do miss doing those. Those were fun.
I had a good laugh at in your first Rotting Acres Mall episode. There's a point in it where you're like, nobody's going to the food court. We've spent all our money. And I was like, I bet real people have had that conversation.
Yeah. That was so much fun. As soon as my day job's able to calm down a little bit and I can have a little bit of time to try and run that again on that Windows 98 computer that I put together, I probably would want to start streaming. I just have to like decide if I want to. Streaming's actually something I've thought more about doing, it just out even outside of the Mall Tycoon stuff. I mean, I play a lot of video games, so, and I have fun playing them, so I should probably maybe stream on YouTube or Twitch some gameplay, like on my second channel or something.
Yeah, you did say at Game On Expo, this year, that RA2 would be getting some new content.
Yeah, I've got, with the hard drive dying though, I've lost the project files and the stuff I was working on for that as well. But I did want to start covering some more like things. Like, I was working on a video about why can I not think of the name? The Japanese capsule toys.
Oh,
Gashapon.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was, because those are something that's starting to pop up more here in the United States now. Like, I'm starting to see like rows of machines of those at malls now and stuff. And then at Game On Expo and at a lot of the gaming expos, they'll usually have a big booth where somebody's running a bunch of those. And there's some like really weird and interesting kind of a lot of retro game related stuff you can get out of those. So I have like, I wanted to kind of do a video covering the history of them and showing off some of the ones that I've seen around lately, and then open up some of this stuff. Cause like the stuff I got, it like one that I got is like supposed to be little mini retro gaming consoles, like Sega ones. So there's like a little mini Game Gear, there's a Saturn, I think. But I never opened any of them. Like, I got them out of the machines, but they're still a mystery to me what they are. And I had started working on that video, but now I've got to start over on the editing because I lost the project file that I was working on. But yeah, I do. And if I stream, I probably will stream on that channel just because that's where people are used to seeing my streams. But I have been, there are some people that I follow on Twitch, you know, that I've been watching on Twitch lately. So it's kind of tempting to go over there, but I don't know how many people of my viewers actually watch Twitch stuff or if they're just strictly YouTube. So,
right.
But yeah, I do want to do, like I said, I want to cover more things over there. And a lot of it will be like probably retro, I want to say like retro gaming and like retro technology related. Like there's a neat video on that second channel. It's probably been like 2 years since I did the video, but I hooked up the TV tuner for the Sega Game Gear. I was able to hook that up to like one of those digital tuner boxes or whatever, and I actually got it working again where I could like watch TV on the Game Gear again. So I want to do more videos like that, like covering weird stuff that I think people don't think works anymore, but you can kind of still make it work.
What happened to, speaking of RA2, what happened to Mad 8 Productions?
So that was my first, that's what's really funny is, so the thing I call my second channel, if you look at the date that that channel was created and the date that Retail Archaeology was created, you'll see that my second channel was actually created earlier, because that was my first go at YouTube, and that was when I was doing like retro game reviews and things like that. That kind of fell by the wayside when Retail Archaeology started to grow. I kind of had to like make a choice, you know, because I have a day job and stuff, and I tried running two YouTube channels for a while, but it wasn't possible. And then at some point I kind of wanted to have a second channel again, just to experiment with things and kind of do like more informal videos. And I just thought, instead of starting another, I should just rebrand and all those videos are still there on the second channel. Like if you go back to the beginning of that channel, like all the Mad 8 Productions videos are still there. They're not great. The production value's not great, and there's a lot of cringy humor and stuff in it, but like nothing offensive or anything, but just like, you know, it's, when did I start that? I want to say that was probably 2014 or so. So it's a lot of like not great footage and audio issues and things like that, but I left it all up there.
Do you still have an arcade in your garage?
No, I still have the arcade games, but they are in storage right now. I moved into a new place recently, and I just haven't had, I haven't been able to get enough people together to help me move them all, or get a truck. Really, I need to get like, I need to borrow or rent a truck that has, what do you call those lifts, like a lift gate, you know? Because yeah, I do still have the two arcade games and the pinball machine. I no longer have, I did have a Cyclone ticket game at one point. I don't have that anymore. I sold that. So but I do have a Neo Geo NVS cabinet, and then I've got a Galaga cabinet, and I've got an old, it's from the late 70s. It's an electromechanical pinball machine called Trail Drive.
So what is it like when you go thrifting or you see stuff at a convention or whatever, like, are you looking for any specific games or technology or whatever? Because I know you said in one video, I think for NES games, you said that you don't collect complete in box, it's just carts, which resonated with me because I collect SNES games, but just carts. Or at least I don't go looking for the complete in box. But like, I know you like Game Boy. Is there anything you're like really searching for?
Really it's Game Boy stuff recently. So at conventions and at thrift stores too, it's like Game Boy stuff. I'm a huge fan of the original Game Boy. I love that thing, and I love a lot of the games on there. There's big box PC games I'm kind of currently actively collecting. Interesting Atari stuff that I don't have. Especially like Atari Lynx stuff. I have an Atari Lynx, and I actually like a lot of the arcade conversions on there. So like Atari Lynx stuff, Game Gear stuff, a lot of portable systems really, and then big box PC. I'm kind of like done collecting NES because I was never going for a full set. I really only wanted like games that I had or games that I rented and like really enjoyed, or games that I wanted and never had, you know, like that friends had and I didn't have and stuff. And so I've got like 98% of what I want, you know, for a lot of those systems. And the last couple of things are like holy grail items, you know, so they're, I would need to come across those things at a Goodwill. I'm not going to spend, you know, $200 or $300 or $400 on an NES cart or an SNES cart or something like that. TurboGrafx 16 stuff I'm always looking for, but that stuff again is also like you never find it at thrift stores, and at conventions it's pricey.
Yeah,
mainly it's like the retro, like lately it's been the retro portable systems I'm into, and then big box, like old big box PC stuff.
Right. Before I let you go, going back to the malls, I have to bring up, you were actually at Twin Pines Mall, the Back to the Future Mall.
Yes, I love that mall. I've been there twice. Once recently, where it is really dead at this point. But yeah, that Twin Pines Mall, it's Pointa Hills Mall in City of Industry, California, which is where, if people are familiar with Twin Pines, it's the mall from Back to the Future. It's where they filmed. So you can actually see where they filmed the DeLorean scenes at the beginning of the movie. The JCPenney was filmed in front of, I think it's an LA Fitness now. It's a gym now, the JCPenney. But then the mall itself is a dead mall. It has very few stores left in it open.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, that's actually kind of, those are some of my more favorite malls to cover, because that's another reason why I think I like old movies too. So there's a lot of malls and old movies. And I've covered a lot of malls that were in, used as filming locations in movies, like that one. Metro Center Mall here in Phoenix is where Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure was filmed. The really neat mall that I filmed in Tucson that has the really awesome like retro arcade and stuff in it, that had a couple of 80s movies filmed there. I think one, Can't Buy Me Love, I think, was filmed there. So that's another fun thing is visiting the malls where movies were filmed, because you can a lot of times kind of recreate some of the filming angles and stuff like that.
Cool. Well, people can find your content, your retail archaeology on YouTube. You're also RA2, the number 2, channel on YouTube. Eric from Retail Archaeology, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.